What does the birth of Jesus mean to you? All right, and with that, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we celebrate this season because it's its birth. But Lord, it's not only his birth, it's the reason for his birth was to save us. And Father, we could confidently say that, yes, Jesus is the reason for this evening's season, but we could also confidently say that we are the reason for the season. For God so loved the world. And Father, I just pray that people would be encouraged tonight in Jesus' name. So when we think about that, I want to read one verse of Scripture very quickly, and we'll probably come back to it in a minute. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's really one of my favorite verses. Actually, it's the first Christmas Eve service. As a matter of fact, I sent out an email not just this week talking about this is the first verse I ever used in the first Christmas Eve service I did on Monday night, December 24th, 1984. Casey, boy, he's pretty good. He remembered all that. I had to look it up. Okay, and the children sang, and it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of people there, but it was great. And it's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And we're so blessed for that. So really, what does the birth of Jesus mean to you personally? One thing I know it means to me, and it should mean to all of us, is that through Christ, we gain the ultimate victory in life if we'll let it happen. Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago to end Satan's rule on this earth. You know, we look at all of the evil that's in the world, all the hatred that people have for one another. And Jesus really came to end that. And what has happened, he said, in the last days, before it ends, it was going to get worse. All right? And it is. We see it more and more, you know. But he came to destroy that element that causes all the hatred in the world. So the Christmas story just didn't start back in the little town of Bethlehem. It started back in the book of Genesis. All right, that's the Christmas story. When God created Adam and Eve, he placed them in this great place, the Garden of Eden. He walked with them. He talked with them every day. Every one of their needs were met. They didn't have to worry about anything. And I thought about that too, and I think about the verse in the Bible where it says, what are you worrying about? What you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink? If God cares for the food, the birds of the air, don't you think he cares for you? So really going back to that, when they walked in the garden, God wanted to restore that same element back to us. So in the garden, they didn't have to worry about anything. And so God brought every animal, every bird to Adam and see what he would call them. And Adam gave them names. And it says Adam had dominion over every creature. But then Satan came, the devil, and he deceived Eve. She was truly deceived. She got caught off guard. But Adam went in eyes open. All right. And people want to know, why is there so much hatred in the world today? And again, the reason for the season is Jesus came back to rectify that problem. All right, so let's not forget that. But why is there all this evil in the world today? Well, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I just said all they ever knew was good. They didn't know evil. There was no such thing as evil. They knew God was good and everything we wanted was there for the taking. But Satan deceived Eve into eating of the fruit. Adam knew if he ate, he was going to sin. And eating of that fruit, they understood the knowledge of worldly good and worldly evil. And ever since that moment took place, the world, there's two forces that have been at war with one another. Human good versus human evil. And I will tell you, it will not stop until Jesus comes back. So we're going to have this war. But in the meantime, God had a plan for us. That's why we talk, people talk about being born again, and you know, and some of these words are foreign to a lot of people. They don't quite understand it. But when Adam and Eve sinned, their spirits were separated from God. There was really, you know, they cried out to God in their minds, but their hearts didn't have that God connection. You know, as we stay in the recovery classes, they didn't have that higher power. When Jesus came to restore that spiritual connection to him, and we do it through Jesus Christ. That's why he's the reason for the season. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. And so thinking about all of that, Satan really thought he won a victory. He thought that mankind would never be able to connect to God again. But how do you know God had a plan? God, love, God has a plan. Your plan is nothing. God has a plan. Anyway, and I could just imagine God saying one day in heaven, you know what? They messed up. Bunch of people down there, they're all running in different directions. They don't know what they're doing. And I want to redeem them. I want to buy them back. Because Adam was God's crown creation. And so he says, who's willing to do it? And I imagine at that point, all heaven went silent. You know, because there was a price that had to be paid. The person who was going to redeem mankind had to die on a cross. Okay? And nobody spoke up except Jesus. He said, Dad, I'll go do it. I'll go for you, Father. And so we get to John in the Gospel of John where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus wanted to come here. All right? His only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We need to believe in him. It's not just about Christmas presents and Christmas trees and all the fanfare of Christmas. And I am certainly not against it. Bring it on. But the main reason for Christmas is that baby that we just said, for unto us a child, a baby is born, but the son was given. The spiritual aspect was given to us. It wasn't born into this earth. It was a free gift from God to us. The vehicle that it came through was the baby in the manger in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. Hello? In that starry night, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger of wood, and he lived a sinless life. Sinless. Only to be crucified on a hill, on a cross. I had a man last night, once a week we meet in here. We have two groups that we have Celebrate Freedom, which is people who have situations in their life they can come to. Then we have one that is zeroed in right into those that have a substance abuse problem. And so a gentleman came last night, and he didn't know I was the pastor of the church. I think he kind of figured it out. It's the second time he was at the meeting. So he kind of figured it out who I was. And because my purpose is not to come in and make people feel uncomfortable. And I get up and share my story and so forth. So he says, so you're the pastor, huh? I says, yeah. He says, I got a question. How come there's no crucifix hanging in the room? I said, well, I'll tell you why. It's a real simple reason. I says, the crucifix comes at Christmas. I mean at Easter, sorry. It comes at Easter. I says, this is Christmas. So we take it out. And really, the reason we take it out, it's big. All right, so we can't fit everything in here. But we take it out, and we decorate for Christmas, and we put the manger here instead. I says, but after the first of the year, it comes back in here. And he says, I never thought of it that way. But I said that because Jesus came for one reason and one reason only, and that was to die on a cross so he could redeem us, so he could our sins could be forgiven, so we could turn to God. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says to us, for this purpose, what purpose? This purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. destroy it. So through his birth, which we're celebrating, and his death, which we will celebrate when Easter comes, and his resurrection, Jesus ended Satan's rule over every person that would accept him. All right? Just simply believe on him. And you know, you could talk about any kind of religion in the world and nobody gets mad. Mention Jesus. Just mention Jesus somewhere and people go crazy. And they don't even know why they go crazy. They don't realize that there's a force behind it that's causing it. It's a spiritual sickness out there that's causing people. They don't even know why. Jesus, wow, they go crazy, you know. And the beauty of this Christmas story is that the only reason Jesus became a baby was for you and me. I did a funeral yesterday for a man who used to come to church here years ago, and you know he moved away, then he moved back, and then he got sick. But his daughter comes, you know, sporadically to church, and she says, "My father wanted you to do his funeral." And you know, sometimes I say some really bizarre things at bizarre times. It's like, and after I say them, I go, "What are you, nuts?" To myself, I don't tell it to people. So I'm up there, and for some reason, I start talking about Christmas. I'm in a wake at a funeral, and I'm talking about Christmas. And I looked at them, and I says, "You know something? You might not understand this right now, but you will. Your father got the best Christmas present he could ever get. He's in the presence of God. No longer to suffer and no longer to be in pain." And people were going. This is a funeral. You know, then I went on to explain other stuff too, but I'm the whole time I'm doing this, I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe I'm doing this. But they all came and they said, "That was so great." You know, it's like it gives us hope. There's a hope out there. People don't have hope. If we could get hope into people, we can give them help. And if we could give them hope and we get them help, we could get them healed. Amen. We could get their lives straightened out. So he made a way for us not only to commune once again with God, but also to experience victory over the challenges and circumstances of life that come our way. People everywhere deal with situations. I mean, being in the ministry it's going on 35 years. People deal with situations, trouble in their families. I mean, on a Thursday night here, people are hurting. People cry. There was one fella here that was crying because of the pain that he's going through, but not only the pain he caused his parents. That it asks this, and my wife got up and shared something. But we feel we have family problems. We have job problems. And it's Christmas and we have finance problems. All right. And others have suffered tragedies in their life. People here, people have to confront health issues. Steve, who comes to church here, been a member of this church for over 25 years, sitting in the hospital tonight, was planning to be here on Christmas Eve. And his wife, she says, "Pastor, I know," because it was like 4 o'clock, she called me up. She goes, "I know you can't come over here right now." I said, "I'll get dressed and come over, and then I'll just go over to the church." She goes, No, don't do that. She goes, "Just have the people pray. Just let them pray." So I said, "You text me his room number. I'll be there tomorrow morning when I get up." She goes, "You don't have to do that. You're busy." I says, "It's not about being busy. It's about somebody needs encouragement in prayer." For God forbid, if we're ever too busy for that, there's something matter with us. So, but anyway, And so they confront health issues. And the good news from the Christmas story is that Jesus can help us with these problems. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of a problem, you know Jesus could help you, but sometimes you just need somebody to give you a little push, to encourage you along the way. That's all. And so he might need a little encouragement along the way. Amen. I like this too, because again, the good news from Christmas is that Jesus came to help all of us with problems, okay? He lived as a man. He was touched with every infirmity that he had. He lived as a man to show us that we could overcome anything that the world tries to put at us, okay, and live victoriously on it. As a matter of fact, Jesus was so confident of that. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, out of the Amplified Bible, it says, "I came that they may have and enjoy life." You ever hear, you go to some churches, they preach God, he doesn't want you to enjoy nothing. I'm here to tell you, I came that you may have and enjoy life. Could you put the regular John 10, 10 up there? No, John, oh yeah. I didn't even read that part, did I? Oh yeah. I missed that part. Oh well. "The thief cometh not to steal, but to steal." Man, this new program's got the King James, huh? Okay. "The thief cometh not for but to steal, to kill, and destroy." Then that's why he comes. What? That was the reason we says Jesus, the purpose that the Son of God was manifest, was to destroy all that. So now he goes, "I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." So he came that we might have life and enjoy it and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Why? Because Jesus came so our needs would be met spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, every area of our life. That's why he came. That's why we're celebrating Christmas Eve. Okay? And he's called Emmanuel, which is God with us. I mean, did you get up this morning and say, you know, God's with me? My wife was really, today, she didn't think I was listening. And I was sitting by at my computer and I hear her going, "Okay, God." I said, "I'm going out today. Just what do you want me to do? Who do you want to come past me?" And look out when she prays that way. Because people come out of the woodwork. Amen. But it's the truth. So, why? Because he's with us. He's with us. We're not destitute. Bible calls him El Shaddai. The God who's more than enough. The God who's more than enough is with us. People treat him that he's El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. He's the God that's more than enough for everything that we have. And he promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. You know, if you're here tonight and you love Jesus and he's your Savior, there is nothing you could do to make him leave you nor forsake you. He'd be on your case. He'd be knocking on your door, ringing your phone, because he loves you. Amen. And you're his creation. So again, the Christmas story is not just about a stable, a manger, shepherds, wise men. I mean, it's nice, you know, but it's about the power of God. The power that brought Christ to this earth, and that same power that brought him to this earth will deliver us and help us with every problem and every need that we have. And you know what? The world needs to know that. The world doesn't know that. They just don't. They don't get it. They don't get it. They don't know it. Or people just mock it and all that kind of stuff. But it's, again, the victory that was won so long ago is still available today. Scriptures that talk about it. I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures. Then we're going to light our candles because I promised I'd get us out of here at 7:30. And the way I'm going, I'm lying. All right. But here's some scriptures I want to read to you. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you wake up this morning, look in the mirror and say, thanks be to God. Amen. Who always gives me the victory. Hallelujah. Or did you get up and look in the mirror and you go, oh God, another day. And it don't look good. It's how we start our day, but here's one. In all things, we are more than conquerors yes. through him that loved us. Amen. Did we get up this morning and say, whoa, I'm a conqueror. Bless God. Yes. You know, I always tell a story about, this says we're more than a conqueror here. One thing to be a conqueror, but it's another thing to be more than a conqueror. You know what more than a conqueror is? It's a prize fighter in a ring going 15 rounds for $1 million and getting the snot knocked out of him. Beat up, bloody, knocked down, throwing water on him. And he wins. He gets that big gold buckle and $1 million check. And his little petite white comes walking up to him and he goes, here, honey, she's more than a conqueror. See, Jesus was in the prize fight. We're more than a conqueror. That's why it says we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Bible said who's ever born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith, believing in something, believing in God, believing in the Creator. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he that believes Jesus is the Son of God. And the Christmas story is the ultimate story of the Bible, because it frees us from bondage and enables us to live in victory as overcomers. It's possible. This is possible only because one day Jesus was born for us. We're going to light candles here in a second. And music, by the music ministry's coming up here. I want everybody to bow their heads for a minute. I just shared a little bit. I want to encourage you about the goodness of God and all the great things he has for us. And there's so many people walking around and they're in darkness. We're going to be talking about being the light of the world. We are the light of the world. He was the light. And he came into the world because the world is in darkness. And we kind of look at it and say, man, there's no hope left. There is hope. There's plenty of hope. We're here. Can you say amen? Amen. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you had never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You might not even understand what it's all about. You don't have to understand what it's about. You just need to take a step of faith and say, you know what, God? My life is pretty messed up. There's things going on in my life I don't understand. I try to do right and only seems that I do wrong. I need help. I need a savior. I need someone to redeem me from this pit, this treadmill that I'm on that I feel like one of them hamsters that just keeps going around and around and around. With no place to go, I'm here to tell you, Jesus will change it for you. He changed it for me. He'll change it for you. Hallelujah. Not saying I never have a problem. I never have a challenge. I do. But you know what? I'm victorious in all the challenges because my Savior is Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So if you're here tonight, with every head bowed, just before we pass out light the candles, if you're here and you really want to give yourself the best, ultimate, Christmas present in the world, that Christmas present would be Jesus Christ. Yeah. You say, Pastor, what do I have to do? You don't have to do anything but to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come and live in your heart. That's all you need to do. You don't have to stop going to the church you're going to. You don't have to do any of that. You just need to ask Jesus into your heart.
Yes, hallelujah.
And if that's you tonight, and I want to pray a simple prayer, I'm not going to have anybody come up and stand down here. I just want to pray with you if that's you tonight. If it is, just slip up your hand just so I could know, because we'll pray. We'll pray, and you'll have eternal life, everlasting life. That means when your body dies, your spirit will live in the presence of God forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, I praise you and I thank you for everyone in here, Lord. Lord, you know every person's heart. You know every joint. You know every bone. You know all the marrow. Everything about them, Father God. You know what they're thinking right now. You know what they're going through right now. And Lord, you're here to help them. You're here to help them. And Father God, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would touch everyone in this room tonight and build them up and encourage them with the words that were spoken in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do here, I want to read some verses of Scripture, because how many of you know we're called to be the light of the world? This thing's going to work. Huh? Get me something that works. Okay. All right. Before we light the candles, that can never light my grill with those things. They don't ever work for me. Anyway, there's a verse of Scripture. Let's read this. And why don't we just shut all the main lights off, leave the side ones on for now, and then we'll shut them off in a minute. Okay. And leave this on so I could see this. All right. In Psalms 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. In whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then in John chapter 1, verses 4 to 9, it says this. It says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, but darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world." Then Jesus said in John chapter 8, he goes, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, it says, "You are the light of the world," speaking to us. "We're a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." That's what we're called to do. And tonight, as we light these candles, and we do it every year, I just don't like to see things become rituals, you know. But as we light these candles, let it be a reminder that we are the light and that he is our light, and we're here to bear witness to that light. We should also be lights and let our lights shine before the world, to those that are lost, to those that are dying. And let us take our rightful authority so that God may be glorified. You know, we should never, ever, and sometimes we do this, never let the world dictate, influence, or change our lives. We should be the one who influences the world for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's right. We have a voice in the world. We are the moral conscience of the world. Hollywood is not the moral conscience of the world, okay? We are the righteous people of the world.
Yes, hallelujah.
Those that are in Christ, we are the moral compass of the world. We are the salt. We are the light. Salt is the season, and light is to go where darkness is.